So we'll learn Sefer HaChinuch. You all got your page to like, you want to gather a little bit more. I feel like we're so far away, some distance in the sense. All right, feel as comfortable as you can. So we'll learn Sefer HaChinuch, very, very briefly. It's a book from around 1200, all right? We don't exactly know who wrote it. We don't know who wrote it. There's different assumptions, different opinions about who exactly wrote it and so on. However, it is one of the most basic halachic books that we have. And what it basically does is to follow, and to follow all the parshiot, all right, the Torah, and extract all the mitzvahs that are in each parsha. Explain the mitzvah, explain some details about the mitzvah, explain when does the mitzvah, who is obligated and so on, all right, about every niche mitzvah. He follows the counting of the Rambam, right? We know that there is many different books that decided to count how many mitzvahs there are there, right? We hold that there are 613, right? Taryag mitzvot. However, not everyone agrees about it, by the way, not everyone agrees. But we hold like the Rambam, there are 613. The Sefer HaChinuch is counting them according to the Rambam. All right, so we'll start with Bereishis. We'll start with the first mitzvah in the Torah. So you can see it here. The first mitzvah in the Torah is mitzvah piriyah u'reviyah, right? To be fruitful and to multiply. He writes as followed. Yesh ba mitzvah taseachat. In Parshas Bereishis, there is one mitzvah. Vehi mitzvah piriyah u'reviyah. That's the mitzvah of piriyah u'reviyah. Sheneemar ve'yivarech otam Elohim ve'yomer lahem Elohim pru u'rvu. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he put Adam and Chava, he gave them the bracha, and he said, "Pru urvu milu et haaretz." Right, uchivshua. Said that Adam and Chava needs to multiply, and they have a role in the teva, in the nature. They need to rule over all the animals, all the creatures, and to multiply themselves. Mishol shem mitzvah zo. Now we talked about the roots of the mitzvah. Every mitzvah he gives the roots, the shorest, the root of the mitzvah. And every mitzvah is not only there randomly. There is a meaning. There is a reason behind the mitzvah. There is a root for it. So mishol shem mitzvah zo. One of the roots. Kedesh sheyeh haolam miyushav. We want the world to be miyushav, to be settled. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world not only for his own good, right? Not only for his own benefit. He created the world because he wanted people to live in the world. So the most basic, the first step in being, I would say, fulfilling this creation of Kadosh Baruch Hu is living. Shalom Aleichem. So, we're...
It's fine. It's on end of life or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. All good.
Besar Tovot. Okay. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is not only for his own benefit, it's not only for his own good, it is actually for us to multiply, to work, to live, to really, not just for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the basic thing, that the most basic thing that a person can do is to multiply himself, right? Look, Dichtivi says, Hashem Baruch Hu chafetz b'yishuv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live in the world. He wants us to multiply. He wants us to use his creation. Ki Dichtivi, that says, lo to b'ra'a l'shevet yitzra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create the world for void. He created the world for us to settle in and to work and to create. Ve'yi, he says, mitzvah gedola shebesibata mitkaimot kol ha-mitzvot ba'olam. All the other mitzvot are actually deriving from this mitzvah. If there's not going to be any human being in the world, then no mitzvah will be able to be fulfilled, right? Then nothing can happen. So that's actually the first step for all the mitzvot in the world. That's why it's also the first mitzvah in the Torah, according to the Chinuch and according to the Rambam. Ki livnei adam nitnu velo lemalachei asharet. The mitzvot, that's a fundamental idea. Halacha and mitzvot were given for human beings. They weren't given for malachei asharet. They're not given for angels. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah and the world for us. Right, it's not for angels, and a lot of things can derive from that. For example, like the idea of sin. Right, think about it for a moment. The idea of sin, like if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would create a world and would expect the world or at least its inhabitants to be perfect, why there's such a thing as sin? He could create all of us perfect, and we would not sin at all. Right, like no one would eat a cheeseburger, no one would drive on Shabbos, no one like no one would be corrupt. Like what? Why is there a possibility in the world for people to sin? So in a sense, we say and we hold that we don't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world as perfect for perfect people or for malachim, for angels. He created it for human beings. So he created it al menat that people will also make mistakes. We should try and avoid as many mistakes as we can. But at the end of the world, at the end of the day, we do make mistakes. All right, it's not from Malachi Asheret. Dinei HaMitzvah, he says, Matai Chayav Adam Nasok Ba, when a person needs to engage himself in the midst of Purvu, V'chama Banim Yulu V'Pater. The question, really, of Purvu is a basic one. How many children should a person give birth to? Right? Like, how many children should he have? Boys, girls, one boy, one girl, only boys, only girls. What do you think? The mitzvah of Puru, every mitzvah has, right, has a standard.
Well, we hold six, isn't it?
Six kids, okay. Michael?
Two, one each.
One each, okay. So most authority says one each. One each. One boy, one girl. That's according to most of the authorities, most of the post-game, hold that it's supposed to be one boy and one girl. But he says over here, you see, he says, I'm not going to talk about it, but he says, the question of how much exactly, ume'eze mitzvot hupatur be'osko vazo ve'yeter praten, all those kind of details into this, mevorim be'yevamot perik shishi, in the Gemara of Yevamot, or in Masechta Yevamos, in the sixth chapter, uvi brachot, and also in Masechet Brachot, ve'noheket b'chol makom, v'chol man, this mitzvah is everywhere. Not only in Eretz Israel, not only outside of Eretz Israel, not in a certain time, it's everywhere, all the time, the mitzvah of Purvu, right? Chayav Adam Nishtadel Ba. A person needs to try and chase this mitzvah. Mishehu Ra'uila, because he deserves it. And this is the root of what we say about Chasuna. Now, there's a question about the weddings, right? About the Chasuna. For example, what is the mitzvah that the Chasan is fulfilling? Is that a mitzvah to get married? Is that a mitzvah to do? Like, if that's a mitzvah, first of all, then what is the mitzvah that the groom is fulfilling, or the bride, or whatever that is?
Like, say it again, what's the question?
The question is it a mitzvah to get married? Is that a mitzvah?
With
the
view of having children.
So you say it is only with the view of having children. Let's say there is a couple that says we don't want to have children. Did they fulfill a mitzvah by getting married? They said we don't want. Well, not talking about complicated, complicated cases where, for example, the couple cannot, and that's the authorities discussing.
Hashem created us as a connector.
There's no mitzvah to get married.
There's no mitzvah to get married.
But Hashem created us as a connector, so you have to find a help.
So maybe first we say, before there is kids, the idea that a person is marrying someone that's supposed to be either kenegdo, right? That is for itself a mitzvah. So that's a discussion in the post-game, whether that's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, and what is a mitzvah. Some say the mitzvah is of pruvu, alright? And as you said, if it's not al-menat, an intention, and kanvana, that they will have one day children, they didn't fulfill any mitzvah. Others say that it is a mitzvah to marry itself, either kenegdo and so on, or the Torah says, v'azav, ishet aviv imo, v'davak b'ishto, v'hayu lebasar echad, and all those kind of ideas, all those kind of questions, discuss about this idea. So, in that sense, Achinuch holds, as he said, this is Lisa Isha. The purpose of wedding is for Pu'urvu. If not for Pu'urvu, then, in that sense, there is no reason for wedding. I'm saying, there are a lot of complicated cases, alright, where it's not as easy, or it's complicated, and it can happen, and so on. So again, most authorities hold, for example, that also, if there's a couple that has problems in that sense, or have complexity, then, for example, adoption is actually one of the ways to fulfill Purvu. It's not, it has to be biological children. Because it's a modern thing, adoption.
But back then it was a divorce, right?
But back then it was a divorce. Yeah. Back then we hold that if there's a problem in fertility or so on, then the chatuna, or at least the wedding, was almenat this. For example, the Gemara in Masechet Brachot holds there's an entire discussion. What happens if the groom was sure that his wife will be able to bear children, and then he figures out, they discover after the wedding, after the chatuna, that she cannot, what he's supposed to do, and so on. Obviously, this is 2,000 years ago, all right? We hold, according to most authorities, there's Igros Moshe about it and so on, that yes, this is adoption does count as Purvu in that sense. All right? And he says, mitzvah zo eina muteret al anashim. Mitzvah Purvu is a mitzvah only for male. Not for female. Why? You would assume it's supposed to be on the women, the mitzvah on the women, not on the men, right? Like, the woman is the one that really gives birth. Why is the mitzvah on the men, not on the women, in a sense?
To keep him straight. Women don't need the spiritual. Men need to be grounded.
All right. So that's one of the answers that I'm not sure that I like them, is, as you said, I think that echoes what you said, Steve, is that women, in a sense, always want children more than men. You need to convince the men that they want children. But a woman knows, because she has this potential to give birth and so on, that of course she wants children in a certain day. But the man, he needs a good reason to want it. Like, why would he want it? Why would he want this thing and so on? Again, I'm not a fan of this answer, but there are some that say that this is the reason for that. Mevatla, if someone decides he doesn't want to give children, he doesn't want to give birth, he doesn't want to have children, mevatla bitel aseh. He literally canceled the mitzvah aseh deoraisa from the Torah to give birth. All right? Ve'onsho gadol meod. It's a huge punishment. Shemar'eh ve'atzmo she'ino rotze la'ashlim chefetz Hashem le'yashev olamo. It's a huge, huge mistake.
Aaron Onan,
for example, exactly. Onan is, as we say, right, one of the descendants, the child, right, the boy of Yehuda, and so on, right? If there's a person that decides that he doesn't want to give, he doesn't want to, or so on, we also have Ben Azai in the Gemara. Ben Azai was a Talmid Chacham that he was so much engaged in learning that he said, I don't have time to marry. I don't have time to get married. I don't have time to date. And he didn't get married. So we don't hold it as something good. All right. Some would say maybe it's good because engaged in Torah and so on. We don't hold it as something good. Eventually, we say we do want the person to get married and so on. And he finishes and he says, "Barashat ele toldot Noach en ba mitzvah." In Parshas Noach, no mitzvah in Parshas Noach. So we jump from Parshas Bereishis to Lech Lecha. All right, Bereishis only one mitzvah, which is Purim. So let's see Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha has a mitzvah that is directly connected to the first mitzvah. This is Bris Milah, exactly. So take a look what he says about Bris Milah. Yesh ba mitzvah taseacha. There's one mitzvah in Lech Lecha. Vehi mitzvat Milah. The mitzvah of Milah. Shneemar zod briti asher tishmeru b'ni uveinechem uven zaracha acharecha himo lachem kol zachar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding Avram Avinu to circumcise, right, himself and Ishmael and later on also Yitzchak and so on, right? So in that sense, of the eighth day to have Bris Milah. Right? Right? And again we see it in the Parsha of Tazria, Sefer Vayikra. Again, we see the commandment of Bris Milah. Dichtiv uvayom ha-shmini imol basar olatot. That in the eighth day, you need to make Bris Milah. Veharbe mitzvot kmochen nichpelu b'mkumot harbe b'torah. He says also there's other mitzvot that you can find them over and over again in other places, right? In the Torah. V'chul al ha-torah. You need it every and each time. It's not for no reason. You need it to repeat itself every and each time. Kemo she'parshum chachamim v'duchan al-levacha. And the Chazal said it. Ve'inyan mitzvah zo hu shechotchin ha-orla ha-mechapa rosh ha-gviya. Uforin krum rach shelemata mimena. You can read the English one; it will make more sense. All right, I hope it will make more sense.
Yeah, we're in the room. Yeah,
yeah. I hope it will make more sense. All right. Again, chotchin haorla mechapar rosh gviya uforin krum rach shelemata mimena kedesh itgalir rosh atara shebato ever ki yadua lemevinim shetashlum tzurat adam behasir mimenu ota orla sheitasefet bo. I don't want to get into the details of how exactly is Bris Milah being done. What exactly is this surgery? That there's you can read the English; it will make more sense than the Hebrew one. However, look at the last sentence that he says. I can do that if you want, Michael, don't worry. But I don't know, Steve is eating. It's not for, not along with food. he says, well, the chulam letzorech, he says, it's all for good. Why? Sorry. He says, people know, you should know, shetashlum tzurat ha'adam behasir mimeno ota orla shitosevet bo. That we perfect the person by taking out a piece from his body. Think about this. This is wonderful. This is beautiful. It's a beautiful lekach, right? It's a beautiful message for Brit Milah. That Brit Milah is taking something out of the person.
But it's ironic, you know, this, my wife told me in the Israeli army, you know, men have a profile when you watch.
Yeah, it's 97. It's never going to be 100.
You know, so because of Brit Milah.
By the way, I'm not sure if it's true. I also know that. You know for sure this is the reason?
Yeah,
it's 100? In other words, if someone that didn't go through Bris Milah, he will be 100. It's not going to be 90. What Steve is talking about, that every teenager that goes through the army, it's supposed to be in grade 10 for his first draft. He goes for a different test, a physical test also. So afterwards, he gets this mark, like great, like how healthy you are. So we know that the highest a Jewish male can get is 97.
I get it.
Yeah. So why not 100? Because he went through Brit Milah, so he's not perfect in a sense. So Again, so Steve says it's true. I always heard of it as a bobbin mices. I didn't know.
No, but this is, yeah, that he's become perfect.
Exactly. It's exactly the opposite. It's exactly the opposite.
You think it's like a Jewish army? A Jewish army should be 100%.
So I would do some of the white for Bris Mila supposed to be 100, and some of the did not would be 97, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
The three marks were not
there. I remember that. I remember when I received my mark, Baruch Hashem, it was 97. And no. And I didn't want to be 97. I was very nervous. Because if you're 97, you're almost automatically going for combat.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Like it's very hard to get away from combat if you're not 97. Now, if they really wanted me to go to combat, I would have gone to combat. But I knew that I have better, I would say, areas, better fields that I can really fulfill myself and contribute to Tzal that is not there in other places. So a lot of soldiers after that are going to those different health committees and doctors. They try to say, I have breathing problems, I have this, I have that, in order to lower their profile a little bit in that sense. So maybe we should change this in 100 would be, but it's beautiful, right? It's beautiful. Why is it beautiful? Because we take something out of the person and we turn it to be perfect. Now the question would be, and that's a classic question that the Gemara tells us. There's a Midrash. There's this king turned to Srofus, a Rasha. It was an evil king, Roman king, that went to Rabbi Akiva. They had those schmoozing, those discussions. And he asked Rabbi Akiva, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted all of you to circumcise your sons, why didn't he create all the boys already circumcised? Right? Like, why did he create with something that after 8 days, you take off? Do you have an answer? What's your answer? Like, think about it for a moment.
He wants to give you the mitzvah.
Because he won?
He wants to give a mitzvah.
All right.
He wanted people to do the act themselves, to elevate themselves.
To elevate themselves, to make the mitzvah. So I'll echo what you say. What Rabbi Akiva says is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world and to mitzaref Bnei Am Yisrael into it. He wanted to join. He wanted to let the people join him in the creation. Not to finish it, not to end it by himself, but to let every niche of us continue the creation of Kadosh Baruch Hu by making Bris Mila. It's a wonderful, wonderful idea that the creation of Kadosh Baruch Hu was not just one thing and ended, right? It's something that is continuous. It's every day, every generation is continuing the creation of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, that's what's going to happen. Now, there's also other halachic questions. For example, we know that there are some places that boys can be born already circumcised, right? There's something that can happen. Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a midrash that Moshe Rabbeinu was born circumcised, right? So, like, what are we doing with that? So, there's also halachic questions, like what you should do. Some would say you should do hatafat brit, which is only to take a little bit some of blood, and so on. There's different discussions over this, but in general, we hold it that's a classic kind of bris mila, the eighth day, and so on. That's when he does it.
There's also another condition: if you've had two boys that have both died after bris mila, you're not supposed to give bris mila the third one.
Another question that goes on from it, and I think in Canada that's an issue, right? I think legally you are allowed to do Bris Mila only when the baby reaches a certain weight, right?
Really?
Yeah, that's a thing. I know it in Israel for sure. I heard it's only in Canada. I think that I heard that in Canada it's even it's supposed to be even the size of the baby is supposed to be even bigger than Israel.
You mean in the hospital.
Some would do it in the hospital. I mean, not everyone does it.
Brit Mila
itself. The Brit Mila itself can be done only when the baby reaches a certain weight. All right? I don't know what is the weight exactly.
So it's premature and it's underweight.
So that for sure you don't do. Exactly. Also, there's other things that delay Brit Mila. For example, different diseases. Yeah. So I have a jaundice, exactly, and so on. That does it and so on. Exactly. But again, this is part of the mitzvah, right? Part of Purvu. Also, after Purvu, we have this. So he says, Mishol Shem Mitzvah. So what is the reason? What is the rooting of this mitzvah of Bris Mila? Lefi Sheratza Hashem Itbarach Likvoa Ba'am. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to nail it in the people. What? Asher Yivdil Lihiyot Nikra Al Shmo Ot Kavua Begufam Lehavdila Mishar Amim. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to shape. No, thank you very much. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to shape the Jewish people in a way that they will be different, physically will have a difference than all other nations, all right, in a sense. Now,
I'm
too warm here. I'm already with...
I'm good. Thanks. Thank you.
I would say that this idea that Jews will be different, which the Chinuch is mentioning as the root of the mitzvah, was very, very, I would say, did not play off well for Jews. We know specifically also in World War II, right? We know there's a lot of stories about kids, for example, that were already, let's say they managed to escape the cities or the war, and they find, for example, they hid in different homes or, for example, in churches and so on. Under the Christians, there's a lot of stories about boys, Jewish boys, that, for example, when other kids saw them and they knew they're Jewish, that really caused them a lot of torture, a lot of troubles, and so on. So the idea that Jews are different, which is, according to the Chinuch, the main reason for Brit Milah, is to be different in a sense, is not always a positive thing. In that sense, not always a positive thing. It's also the question, I think you will talk about it, like, why there? Like, if you want to make the Jews different, why there? Like, you can think about, like, I don't know, think about the ear, think about the nose. This is source of creation. Like, which goes back to Puruvu, right, in that sense. Like, the source of creation and so on. It's also interesting to talk about it historically. Historically, Jews are not the only nation that circumcised their children, right? For example, we know it. There were nations before and so on. What Jews did, it's not a Jewish invention. Circumcision is not a Jewish invention. Rather, we know that we just took it from other nations, from other religions, but we converted it according to what Halakha, to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. We do it differently. For example, Muslims do it at the age of
13,
right? For example, we do it at the age of 8. Why in 13? 13 years.
Ishmael.
Exactly. Yeah, 13 years.
Ishmael.
Exactly. They hold, right? They're descendants of Ishmael.
Most of them do it at birth now, though.
At birth now, though. Okay, I didn't know that. That's new. Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm told. The other thing is that, you know, there's also, you know, the word for the piece that you cut off is called an orla.
Orla, yeah.
And also the
in the fruit, it's orla, exactly.
The fruit, you know,
there's a lot, exactly, that you take it off. It's dedicated for someone, exactly. Now the ceremony of the Brit is what?
I was watching a show on Netflix. It's called The Human Playground, and it just has all these extreme things. And there's a tribe in Africa, in Ethiopia, where they circumcise the kid like 2, and then the tradition is the father eats the foreskin.
Really? Oh boy. So it's good that you finished eating. I will tell you that there is a very weird tradition, a very weird custom.
Yes. Yes.
Also, in our circles, you don't need to go all the way to a tribe. You don't need to go all the way to tribes in Africa. Some of them say that you need to bury it. Some say you need to chew it and then bury it. And so on. There are some based on Kabbalah and so on. Also, in our circles, I don't know if you've heard of it, Johnny, that we also have.
You're supposed to bury it. But you know what? There's a tradition. There's like, actually, I was watching this Israeli movie where this girl, she didn't want to get married to somebody, so they brought all these men. And everyone, they brought the orla, and they used to put it under the couch to encourage her to get married. Poor girl, she brought out a basket.
That's very, that works for sure. it's like David HaMelech, right? The Torah says, the Gemara says that David HaMelech, right? He used Elef Orlot Plishtim. He's the thousand Orlot of Plishtim in order to be Mekadesh
Israel, right? You know what, actually, in Sefer Yehoshua, one of the first, I think it's in the second chapter, they talk about, because the Jews didn't get Brit Milah
exactly.
During the time of the desert. So they, in order to fight in the army, they had, and Yehoshua, it says, there was a mountain of Orla.
Mountain of Orla, exactly, yeah. Harla, there's a lot of it, a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, I think also in Africa, but we don't need to go as far to find stuff also in our religion. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
And then they give him a banana too.
You should fry it before, cook it, bake it, I don't know, whatever. Okay, oh my goodness. All right, we should stop here. Okay, so. All right, so we should be different and so on. And yet, okay, all this. Venikva, he says, Havdel begulat azav. That is, where exactly is that? He said, in the golden place. That's how we call it. Gulat azav, the golden place. He says, the fishu sibalik humamin, right? That's a reason for existence. That's why it's there. Milvat sheish bo tashlum tzurat haguf, kimo she'amarnu, ve'ha'am hanifchar, chafet Hashem itbarach lashim tchunato. And as a chosen people, in a sense, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us also to perfect ourselves, right? And to do this. Ve'ratza liyot ha'ashlama, he wanted this perfecting to be happened on the day ha'adam. And that's why lo bra'ol shalem mibet. And that's why, right, based on what Rabbi Akiva said, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu did not create us perfect in a sense. He wanted us to do it for ourselves. Lirmoz elav ki kasher tushlum tzurat gufo, when he does it for himself al yado, ken beyado lashlim tzurat nafsho b'echsher pu'ulosav. It's a beautiful idea. That if we know that we have the ability, the power, the koach, to perfect ourselves, to work, to complete the creation of Kadosh Baruch Hu physically, obviously we have this power spiritually. that every and each one of us can make our own bris milah spiritually to ourselves, to the children, to our surroundings, and so on. That there is a spiritual orla that every and each of us have in our neshama, and we have the ability and we have the obligation to be ochre this, right? To make this bris milah to our hearts. Innocent, right? It's called, for example, we say that a person that is stubborn or a person that is hard is bad, we say arel, right? Arel levavo. The vavo is arel. Arel, it's like someone that didn't go through bris milah. So bris milah is also a spirituality in a spiritual sense that we all need to go through in that sense, right? Dinei hamitzvah, the details of the mitzvah, al mi mutelet milat ha'ktanim, who needs to circumcise? Who's the mitzvah on? Is that on the baby?
Father.
The father? Why the father? What about the mother? Who's? What about Tzipora? Tzipora did it, right? Yeah, Tzipora was a mohel, right? That's a question today. Can a woman be mohelet or so on, right? It's a question. We see from Tzipora that obviously yes. Other ideas, where the Shulchan Aruch, for example, can say no, but there's a problem of tznias and so on. But who's? So the mitzvah is not the man. We know on the father. What happens if the father can't do it, or for example, God forbid, he doesn't have a father?
Then you get a
hires a moment.
You hire someone else, and if someone on the mohel, right? And if the mohel doesn't do it, or there's no, like, who's in charge of it? It's a boy that they found somewhere. Besdin. All right? Besdin, all right? The court, the Jewish court, is in charge at the end of the day to make sure that every and each boy, Jewish boy, is circumcised. All right? So that's part of, you would think, like, it's only the family. No, it's a national kind of responsibility that all of us have, in a sense, to make sure that all of us are circumcised.
That's a bit tricky, because if you say it's the duty of the court, then the court has an ability, at least Jewish court, to punish the person who doesn't give it.
There is a way, exactly.
So
you force him to do it.
So,
Yeah. Force it to do it.
When you were talking about 97% in the Israeli army, what percentage of the soldiers are circumcised? Would you say?
Great question.
Some of the Russians are not.
Some of the Russians are not. Some of the Christians are not in the army. Okay. I don't know about Druze. I have no idea about Druze. I don't know.
And of the Jewish?
No, Jewish most of them. Yeah. Bris Milah is one of the mitzvahs that really, Baruch Hashem, we see that really doesn't matter from what sector, from on the spectrum you are, still majority of the majority is doing Bris Milah. Obviously, we hear voices that say this is immoral, how can you do it for the child, for the kid, you should wait until he becomes older, he will decide for himself, and so on and so on. I'm not trying to underestimate those kind of ideas. I'll just tell you my personal view on it. Like, why do I don't feel this is immoral? And I'll share with you that also, Baruch Hashem, if we talk about Bris Milah, then Priel and I just received today a Besorah Mesamachat, that we're expecting a boy. So it's Baruch Hashem, we know it's a boy. So we're talking about Bris Milah. So I'll tell you my personal view for that. Yeah, Johnny, you can go and run and tell the girls. Welcome, we... yeah, what's it right now? Tell them now, because they will hear from Pearl tomorrow. So my personal view on that is, think about it as a sense of a spirit, as we said, spiritual surgery, right? In a sense that everyone knows, and everyone agrees, that if, God forbid, the kid needs to go, the baby needs to go through a surgery when he is 8 days old because something happened to him, no one will tell him or will say, wait until he becomes 6, 7, 8, and he will decide that he wants to go through the surgery himself. Everyone will understand that this is urgent and he needs to go through it. What's the difference if you say this is a spiritual surgery? If you really believe that a baby needs to go through a spiritual surgery in that day, in that sense, that he needs to belong to the Jewish people, he doesn't belong to Jewish people until he goes through this covenant, because this is brit, it's a covenant, then what's immoral in it? Because he needs to go through this surgery. It's a surgery. It's a surgery for the whole davar in that sense. So at least for me, I don't see the kushi. I don't see the difficulty in at least for the argument of those who say, how can you force, or how can you force a kid to circumcise himself? Wait for him until he wants to do it himself. All right. In a sense, if you believe, if you don't believe, it's fine. It's valuable, and I understand why you wouldn't do it. But if you believe it's valuable, I don't think it's an argument. So let's just finish this mitzvah. Al mi muteret mitzvah muteret milat haktanim. Who is in charge of it? Milat avadim. That's another thing. Slavery. All right. Should you circumcision of slaves? That's another issue. We're not going to talk about it. Yalid bayit miknat kesef v'achiluk shebenem. All those kind of details. Uve'eze inyan dochin bishvila shabbat v'yom tov. For example, what about Shabbos? Bris milah on Shabbos. For example, Bris Milah on Yom Tov. All those kind of... Exactly. The Ezekah. Have you ever been to a Bris Milah on Yom Kippur?
No.
looking for someone who... Yeah, you've been? Oh, my goodness.
That's pretty nice because there's no food.
South Africa or here?
In here? No,
in South Africa.
Right off the Musa, between Musa and
Musa. Really? Wow. Did they give, what about the wine?
It's a baby.
That's what you can drink. Okay. When do you delay the bris milah? All those kind of details, right? The 19th chapter in Masechet Shabbos talks about bris milah in that sense. Perek Dalet beYivamot, and the 4th chapter in Yivamot, Sefer Achinuch really tells us not only the mitzvah, tells us if you want to learn it in depth, what to open, what book you should open, where in the shelf you'll find it. V'sham b'Shabbat itbayel ki hamal mevarech, and there he tells us there's a bracha, right? What is the bracha? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al hamila. Right? That's what the ma, the one that does it, right? The mohel, he says it. The avi haben, the father, obed din, b'makom she'enav, the best din, who's in charge, where there is no father, right? Mevarchin, they say, baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu, lachniso b'vritah shel Avraham Avinu. והעומדים שם, those who see it, עונין, כשם שזכה לברית, כן יזכה הוא הועל לתורה ולחופה ולמעשים טוב, different נוסחים for this, what exactly they say. There is a tefillah also that we know we hold, that if the baby cries while the baby is crying, there's a tefillah to say that those crying, those tears will be heard for all of us, and so on. There's a lot of beautiful ideas behind this bris milah. And we see that at the end of the day, it's not as easy, right? Because take a look, we know that the person in the room that for I would say for her, it's the most difficult, it's the mother. So some hold that the mother will not be even close to that, right? Just hearing the baby crying from the, it's very, 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 very difficult. Yeah, exactly. And that you see, Ein anashim chayavot b'milat nehen. Now you can understand another reason why women are not in, they don't need to do it. Like, that makes very much sense that it's on the father, not on the mother. If it would be on the mother, it'd be very hard, almost extremely impossible to do it. Think about it in a sense. No, Michael, disagrees. To cause pain to the kid, to the baby. I'm not saying that for the father it's easy, but still, it's some reason it's still different. I don't know why. I mean, you can tell me, but I don't know why it's still different.
You know, there's a, in, it's not Lech Lecha, I think it was after Lech Lecha, it says, you know, and Abraham loved his son, right? Son,
yeah.
He said, there's no mention of birthdays. You don't know that it's in all the Torah.
Paro.
Except for there's a mention that after 2 years of age, Avram now became close with his son. And Kilo, why? Because the baby is stuck to the mother for the first 2 years of weaning. And only
classic Freud, right?
Can he start being with him? So that's
the Oedipus syndrome, right? Yeah. And so on.
It's interesting.
Stuck with the mother. The mother is stuck with the baby, in a sense, right?
Only after two, start playing the voice of the father.
Only after two. When he can start, right, in Israel, he started kicking the ball. Here he started, catching football, whatever that is, right? I don't know, playing hockey, whatever that is. All right, so let's just finish. The women are dismissed from that, except, right, if there's no father, God forbid. If someone doesn't do it, for himself, if a boy, a Jewish boy, knows that he hasn't gone through bris milah and he gets to bar mitzvah, that's a huge problem. Why? Every day in his life that he's not circumcised, he's circumcising himself, and he's Jewish, and he knows he's Jewish every and each day, he's mevatel mitzvah taseh deoraisa. Every day, it's not one mitzvah throughout his life. Every each day that he exists in the world, he's mevatel mitzvah taseh, he doesn't do it. And look at that. Ve'im met, chas v'chalila. And after he dies, and he hasn't gone through circumcision, v'hu arel b'mezid. Not if it's a chogeg. Not if he didn't know that he's Jewish. Or not if he didn't know that maybe the circumcision was not done good. But if he knows that he was not circumcised, and he knows he's Jewish, and still decided not to circumcise himself, and he died, chayav karet. Karet. Correct. That's the worst punishment in the world. The worst. It's not only a death here, it's death also to all the descendants of Olam Haba. That's totally destroying
but
from the world.
Then it's not. And you don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
If you don't know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He says, he explicitly says amazing. Aval, he says,
yeah.
But for the father for his son, if he doesn't do it, it's not karet. If the father did not circumcise his son, it's not karet, it's only chiyuv over al aseh. Ve'en bechol ha-Torah mitzvat aseh shechayvin bevitula karet, only two. Bris milah and Pesach. Only two mitzvahs in the Torah that are mitzvot aseh, that person, they're active mitzvot that a person needs to do, and if he hasn't done them, he's entitled for karet, is bris mila, and shechitat pesach, slaughtering of the Pesach. Why Pesach? We'll talk about it very soon, all right? And Parashat Vayera, finishes here, he says, Parashat Vayera, right afterwards, Elav, Parashat V'yuchayisar, and Chayisara, and Toldot, Vayetze, and Behen Mitzvah. He didn't count it. The Rambam didn't count it as a mitzvah, so he doesn't count it as a mitzvah as well. We can stop here. Shkoyach, everyone. Shkoyach very much. Continue with Hashem next week. Yeah.